Our scripture today comes from Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. It says these words, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." All right, it is our custom when we gather for worship nowadays that we usually pray the Lord's Prayer together. And the reason that we pray the Lord's Prayer together when we gather as a family is that Jesus gave us a prayer to pray. Jesus is giving us a prayer to pray. Now, in our world today, we live in a time strange to most of the history of Christianity. We live in a world today where we don't think much about written prayers or ritualistic prayers. If it's not extemporaneous, if it's not just coming right out, if you're not making it up while you're saying it, we don't think it's authentic. That's not the way that Jesus and his disciples thought. Jesus and his disciples grew up in a time and a place where they believed that by repeating prayers, those prayers began to form and shape us. They believed that in the ritual of repetition, that God was continuing to shape people who wanted to be grounded in God rather than by whatever cultural forces were at work in the day. And so Jesus and his disciples most certainly prayed the Shema morning and evening. And the Shema begins with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And then it goes on. And morning and evening, Jesus and his disciples would have prayed this prayer again and again. And they believed that as they prayed this prayer over and over, and they repeated this prayer over and over, that God was shaping and forming and transforming them so that they might be the people that God had called them to be. And that prayer morning and evening was shaping and transforming. So imagine this. Imagine that your first thought when you wake up in the morning, this will be hard for some of y'all, but imagine your first thought when you wake up in the morning is, "Here comes another day. Lord, help me get through this day. It's going to be awful, but I'm going to the old salt mine. Help me make some money. Help me avoid some pain and have some fun." All right, now imagine if you said something like that every day when you woke up, if that was your first thought every day. Help me try to get through the day, just avoid pain, have fun. That was it. Or imagine that your first thought for the day was whatever popped up on your phone, that you woke up in the morning and you checked your phone and your first thought for the day was whatever email was there, whatever social media had popped up while you're, imagine that is the first thing that forms and shapes your day. And not only forms and shapes the beginning of the day, but it's what forms and shapes the end of your day. That you close your day by whatever's on social media, by whatever email you read, by whatever television show you're watching, that you're bookending your day with those things. Imagine, on the other hand, that every morning when you wake up, this week, this month, for the next 10 years, for the next 50 years, every morning when you wake up, your thought is this: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done today in my life the same way that it is in heaven." Imagine that you're saying this again and again and again. Jesus gave his disciples a prayer to pray. And I didn't always think this. I kind of thought, okay, Jesus is just showing us a kind of prayer. But once I began to understand how Jesus and the disciples would have received this, and that they lived in a time which once again characterized the church up until the last 50 years, when people believed in praying prayers that transformed and shaped us by repetition, that I kind of believe Jesus actually intended for us to pray this prayer. And so I want to encourage you guys this morning. For all of you, especially who have difficulty in prayer, and that is a lot of us. It's the dirty little secret in the church we don't always talk about. Many of us struggle with prayer. If you struggle with prayer, I want to encourage you when you wake up in the morning to pray the Lord's Prayer. And before you go to sleep at night, Let the last thing you do be to pray the Lord's Prayer. Bookend your day when you wake up and when you go to bed. Bookend your day with this prayer. Repeat this prayer again and again and again. And as we repeat this prayer, we're being invited into the very heart of Jesus. The prayer is transforming us. That repetition is shaping us as we pray this prayer again and again. And listen, here's the people say, well, it will lose its meaning if I do it over and over. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It gets more powerful. It gets more transformative as we pray this prayer again and again, because this prayer begins to shape and transform. And we pray it in an ever deepening way with our lives as the prayer continually shapes us. It won't lose its meaning. It doesn't have to simply become ritual. You can let this be the way that you wake up and the way that you go to bed. You can bookend your life by entering into the very heart of Jesus' relationship with the Father. And so he gives us a prayer to pray. I'll encourage you, pray it. Try me on this. All right, try me on this. Begin and end your day with this prayer and talk to me 6 months from now and tell me if that prayer has lost its meaning in your life or if it hasn't become more powerful and if you don't begin to see ways in which God is transforming your life as you pray this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Now, I think it's a prayer to pray, but the Lord's Prayer is not simply a prayer to pray. It's a pattern of praying. It's a way of praying that Jesus shows us as well. Where any of y'all, when you were growing up, taught the Acts method of prayer, is this right here. Anybody done this? When I was kind of learning to pray, somebody taught me the Acts method, and they said, begin with adoration, then do some confession, then do some thanksgiving, and then do some supplication. And supplication is asking God for stuff. And they said, here's a pattern of prayer. Nothing wrong with this at all. It's good. It's nice. I just, as I thought about this week, though, I thought that somebody sat around and said, you know what people need? They need a pattern of prayer that would really help them. And I need to think up a pattern of prayer that would really kind of help people pray the way that Jesus prayed. And I just see Jesus over on the side going, I thought I did that. I thought I gave people a pretty simple prayer. That's not hard to memorize, that kind of walks you through a pattern of prayer. Nothing, this is a good way to pray, nothing wrong with this, but this is exactly what Jesus has done in the Lord's Prayer. He's shown us a way of praying and what his relationship with the Father looked like. And the more we understand the Lord's Prayer and the pattern of prayer that it is, and the more we understand exactly what we are praying, the more powerful this prayer is going to be in our lives. Jesus is giving us a gift in this prayer. All right, so we're gonna dig in for a week or two or six, I don't know. We're gonna dig into the Lord's Prayer because the more we get this, the more powerful it is for our lives. And Jesus begins this prayer with our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Now, he sets up the prayer by helping us understand who we're praying to, because in the verses that we read before we actually read the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, close your door and pray to your Father. He says, then your Father. He says, your Father knows what you need. So Jesus is introducing them to the context of prayer. It's in the relationship with the Father that prayer is actually going to happen. And so that's what he wants them to understand. Now, to get a hold of this, I think this is, I'm always super excited sometimes when I got something good. Not that there's not something good every week, all right? All right, but this week's really good. All right, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Check this out. This is right after Jesus is baptized. He goes in the water, he's baptized. The Holy Spirit comes down like a dove. And here it is, listen to what happens. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Man, do you think that was a good moment in Jesus' life? Right here. There is something powerful when a parent voices their love and puts a hand on their child and says, you are mine, I love you, I delight in you. Isn't there? And those of you who didn't get this, you understand how powerful it is because you miss it and it's left a wound in your life. And here's this moment right here where God says, this is my son. He's mine. I love him. I delight in him. This was the context of Jesus' relationship with the Father. This was the context of prayer for Jesus. Jesus was speaking to a father who loved him. He was a beloved son. The Father delighted in him. The Father loved to hear from him. When Jesus went to the Father, he was the beloved son and the loving father who delighted in hearing from him. This was the relationship. Now, hearing that, let's flip over to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for us, beginning in verse 20. It says, my prayer is not for them alone. Now, he's talking about there, those disciples who were following him at that moment. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. So right now he's talking about us. I'm praying for you guys, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Skipping down to verse 25. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. All right, now that may sound a little bit confusing to you, but here's what Jesus is saying. Father, you have loved me, and as you have loved me, I'm bringing them into this relationship. Jesus says, the unity I've had with you, and now I know with them, and I'm bringing them in to this relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. 24 years ago, I met a guy named Clint Black, not Clint Black, the country singer, Clint Black, the pastor, and Clint was a part of a small group of pastors that met to love on one another, to support one another, hold one another accountable to the life that God had called us to. And Clint and I began to become friends. And out of that relationship with Clint, Clint said, hey, Jeff, I want to bring you into this group. It was called Table 16. He said, I want to bring you into Table 16. And so Clint introduced me to Table 16, and I became a part of that group. They brought me in, and I became one of them, and I'm still a part of that group 24 years later. I meet on Zoom every week with those guys to love on each other, to support one another, and to hold us accountable to the life that God has called us to. Clint brought me in to that group where I now belong. I'm getting chills, y'all. This is so good. You know what Jesus said he did? He brought us in. Can we even begin to fathom that? He brought us into the relationship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the way the Father loves the Son. He's brought us in. So now we're in that place where the Father loves us through what Christ did for us on the cross. God has brought us in through Jesus Christ. We're now in that loving relationship so that he is our Father. And so we're his beloved sons and daughters, and he delights in us. He delights in us, and he loves to hear from you. And this is the context of prayer that Jesus invites us to be a part of right here, that God delights in you, and we approach him as a heavenly Father. Now, that's hard for some of you guys because you didn't grow up with parents who expressed that kind of love to you. Some of you grew up with parents where you were never enough. And there was a lot of condescension and criticism in that relationship. So this relationship of father is tough, or to relate to God as a loving parent is a more difficult transition. But the reason that it's tough for you is because you know it shouldn't be that way. The reason that you're hurt and that you're wounded is because you know it shouldn't be that way. And we believe that as we learn to receive the love of a gracious Father who is loving and gracious, kind, abounding in steadfast love, as we learn to live in that love and accept that he loves us and delights in us, he heals some of those wounds for some of us that have come from the family that we grew up in. We're learning to experience this love that comes from him. When you pray, are you coming before a God, a Father who loves you, who delights in you? Are you coming to one that you, are you going to a place where you belong? Because Jesus says, in him, you belong. and you are loved and cherished, and he wants to hear from you. That's why Jesus says, hey, you don't have to rattle on. You don't have to say some magical words. You don't have to pray some long prayer. That's how the pagans do it. You don't have to dance around. You don't have to scream and holler and shout to get God's attention. You don't have to do any of those things because you're his child and he loves you. And this is the context of prayer that Jesus is teaching us. We come to our Father. Now, the scripture says, our Father in heaven. This in heaven part, it helps us remember that while Jesus created the world and he sustains the world, he is also distinct from the world. The Father God that we pray to is over all things. Heaven is the place where God's will is uncontested, where all the creatures do God's will with passion and joy and love. And God is enthroned in the heavens above all so that there is none like him. He is singularly and uniquely alone in his position of power above all things, and there's none like him. Above all kings, above all powers, above all thrones, above all wonders, singularly, uniquely, he is in power above all things. Think about this. Think about how Jesus is inviting us to pray. To begin our prayer by saying, our Father, I am deeply loved and cherished. He delights in me. He wants to hear from me and he's invited me. I'm going to a place I belong with the Father. And the one I'm speaking to is singularly and uniquely enthroned of all things. We just sang the song, infinite something, tender embrace, something. It was so good. I was thinking, I need to remember it, but now I forgot it. Infinite something, power something. Y'all get it. Here it is. He loves us. And yet he is at the same time the one who simply spoke and all creation came into being. He didn't battle for it. He didn't fight for it. He didn't struggle. He just spoke. And where there was nothing, existence came into being. The one with whom I belong, who I call Father, who has embraced me in tenderness and mercy, who loves me and delights in me, is the one who is above all things. Think about that in contrast to how we typically many of us have learned to pray. For the first words for many of us when we pray are like, dear God, nothing wrong. It's okay. It's all right. Dear God. But I think I don't typically address people I love by saying to them, dear Stacy or dear Susan or dear Rick. And if you do, that's cool. I think that's nice. I just don't normally address people that way. And the word God is good. And so there's nothing wrong with praying, dear God. The Bible talks about God, but the word biblically is a pretty generic word for a unseen spiritual being. And so when we're saying to dear God, it would be like me saying to my wife, dear human, dear female human, would you pick up some milk on the way home? And that's not normally how I talk to her. Right? And so nothing wrong with that, but what it lacks is the familiarity and what Jesus invites us is the relational nature of what prayer is all about. Here he is. I'm coming into relationship with one who loves and delights in me, who is the Father of Jesus Christ, and who I've been brought into a place where I belong. And there is intimacy. At the same time, there is majesty. And they're both rolled together in a way that is unexplainable, that is mysterious and beautiful. Intimacy and majesty in these moments where I'm sharing in the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm being taken within the love and relationship of the Trinity, and I belong there because of Jesus Christ. Is this the context of prayer? It's what Jesus is inviting us to learn. For many of us, our prayer begins, dear God, and the third word is often, I. Dear God, I. And what does Jesus teach us? Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. We just begin prayer by remembering the relationship and just remembering who he is. His power and his grace. His creation. We remember him. In prayer, where you begin makes a difference. Where and how you begin makes a difference. And Jesus is modeling for us a prayer that puts us in the place to experience intimacy with God, to experience life with him, so that everything that flows out of that, when I have prayed, our Father in heaven, everything that flows out of that is gonna make sense from those first three or four words, our Father in heaven. Well, of course, let thy will be done. Of course, hallowed be your, of course, what else would come after this? And so Jesus teaches us a way of praying. And as we pray the Lord's Prayer, it shapes every prayer that we pray. I want to encourage you. This is such a, I don't know how you're waking up. Maybe you have a great routine, but if you don't, I want to encourage you. Here it is. Let your first thought be the Lord's Prayer. And when you go to sleep at night, let the last thought be the Lord's Prayer. And let it shape and form you. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you, gracious Father, you bring us into this relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you tell us we belong. And Lord, we recognize our brokenness, our weakness, and our sin. And for you to speak these words to us, how do we begin to comprehend that you've brought us into this family? We're so grateful. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And teach us to honor this gift that Jesus has given to us, this prayer that shapes and forms us. And so, Lord, just as you gave us a prayer to pray, you've also given us a meal to share. And as we gather around this table, we remember again your great love for us, the one who created all things, who delights in us, who did not spare his own son to save us. You give us this meal to help us remember that you love us and you're inviting us in. And so we remember how the night when Jesus was betrayed, how he took bread and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And we remember how when the supper was over, Jesus lifted up the cup and he gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, Lord, we gather around this table today in remembrance that by your blood, by your sacrifice, we've been brought into this family. We've been brought into this relationship. We get to call you Father. We get to stand in that place of Jesus as deeply beloved sons and daughters. And Lord, as hard as it is to believe, you delight in us and you invite us to speak to you. And you want to hear what we have to say. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, make these simple gifts of bread and juice be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ that redeemed by you, we might be your message to all the world. Lord, shape and form us for service to you. Make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again and we feast at his heavenly banquet. We pray in the name of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.